rid of it and help KPFK out in the process. It's as simple as calling 877-KPFK-AUTO and asking the operator to assist you in arranging for a pickup. We'll tow it away and we'll mail you all the necessary paperwork for writing it off of your taxes. Call us now at 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Oh no, my car broke down. That's so terrible. That's quite unfortunate. My stupid car doesn't work anymore.
Hey, my name is Ron Roger. I'm an actor from such shows as Matlock, Stranger Things, Power Rangers, and maybe a few more. You are listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you. For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Oh, yeah, it's the Poacher Hour Power, KPFK 90.7 FM on a beautiful California Friday, 3 p.m. I'm Jeff Keller.
I'm Esteban Zul, and we are in the studio live. What's happening, people? What is going on? Do we have Lalo on the hook, on the line, on the phone?
No, but hey, it's just you and I, man.
Oh, it's just me and you. All right, let's do it.
But not Don Lemon. Don Lemon ain't here.
Don Lemon. I heard about that. What happened with Don?
Man, he was doing interviews at the church, right, where the protesters ran into. And so they the Trumps tried to get the federal judge to get a warrant for his arrest. They wouldn't do it.
Okay, but why were they trying to arrest him?
I don't know, inciting a riot. You know.
Inciting a riot.
You know how they just come up with stuff.
Don Lemon.
Trump, they just come up with stuff.
Yeah, well. Did it work? Did it stick? They got him, right? They arrested him.
Yeah, but it ain't going to stick. They just, what they doing is like what they do with the shootings, right? It's they do public lynchings to scare the people and say, if you speak out against us, if you fight out against us, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, another incident of harassing the press, right? They've been doing that, right? They've been raided that journalist's house who was doing investigation work on. Under some pretense, I don't know, but I think they're just trying to rattle the press, right?
Yeah, it's scared. It's crazy, man. This guy's out of control. He's kidnapping presidents, killing American citizens.
He's kidnapping American citizens too.
I was getting ready to say that. Kidnapping American citizens, violating your First Amendment right, your Second Amendment right, your Fourth Amendment right, your 14th Amendment right. Now he's going into Georgia, stealing the voter registrations. He's trying to make a deal in Minnesota to steal the voter registrations. What more do these people need to go, this guy is out of control?
But you know what, man? It is so blistering cold out in Minneapolis. And you got to give it up for those people, man. They are out in the streets.
Hey, I respect white people. I'm telling you what, it's 30 below. If it had been black and Latinos, we like, hold up, we're going to wait till the spring.
Where are my hand warmers?
And we ain't going out there. It's too cold.
Oh, hell no. It's so ain't too cold.
It's too cold.
But, you know, we're tropical people.
Yes, we are.
We need that sun.
Yes.
But see, yeah, them white people came out.
They was out. I like 30 below. I was in my house. I stood up and applauded. I'm like, do your thing.
You got to give it up. You got to give it up for that. They out there.
Hey, man, they out there protesting, right? They found out that it's a class war, right? But they not in Trump's class.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
it's Trump, a whole different ball game.
Trump is classless. That's the issue.
Oh, dude. Oh, are you going to go?
Did you see his arch that he's designing?
Oh, his what?
I think he, like the Trump arch, like he wants to put some kind of monument up.
He likes McDonald's that much that he's going to do a Trump arch?
Yeah, but I think he's going with the gold leafing and all that stuff. But
of course he is.
I think they should just put a big, you know, jacuzzi of him and Epstein on the top. That would be cool. That would be more accurate, right?
Yeah, no, I tell you what, though, man, this is the worst that I've ever seen as an American citizen. it's really out of control. I mean, we're sitting there and we're looking, you know, at these countries in the Middle East, how they're toppling and there are people out there protesting and they're shooting them and kidnapping them. And I'm going, they're doing the same thing here.
Wait a second. Yeah, and what?
Trump, no difference.
Isn't Trump like trying to threaten some kind of action against Iran for?
You know anything about
for
Iran?
Cracking down on protesters.
He likes that guy.
He wants to protect Iranian protesters while he's attacking American protesters.
Now, he's just saying that they're on the same gang. Let's keep it real.
Right.
But you know, today on the Poacher Hour Power,
is that the show we're on? I forgot. I thought we were doing another show.
Yes, no, it's KPFK 90.7.
Thank you, thank you, Jeffrey, for reminding me what building I'm in today because I forget sometimes.
And today we're gonna have Patricia on.
Right on.
We're gonna have. Oh, we don't have Charlie on today, but we also gonna have a play called The Circle.
Oh, we're gonna have a play live on the radio.
It's a tragic comic play. And it deals with what's going on today in America.
Right on.
With the ICE raids and the people. And so they'll come on probably around, you know, 3:35, 3:40, something like that. But you know what we need to do?
What do we need to do, Jeffrey?
We need to start to play the band.
The band, they were asleep in the hallway when I came in.
Patricia Guadalupe, Poacher correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Yes!
Oh, hello, folks.
Patricia.
How you doing?
Well, you know, there's nothing going on, so, you know, I'm just calling in to say hello.
Slow news day.
Yeah, you know, of course, as you were talking just a few seconds ago, the big news, besides everything else, is, you know, the whole arrest of the former CNN anchor, Don Lemon, along with another independent journalist, Georgia Fort from Minneapolis. You know, these are two independent journalists who were covering a protest inside of a church in Minneapolis. So people went into the service there because the pastor also works for ICE. That was the whole protest.
Right.
So that's what the whole thing was about. And Lemon and Fort, the two journalists who were there, we're basically just, you know, covering the protests. And the whole thing that went down was that they were inciting a riot, that they were preventing people from leaving the church, that people started to get scared. None of that is true. And fortunately, somebody was videotaping because, of course, you know, believe your eyes, not what the government says. They were videotaping what Lemon was doing and what Fort was doing, and they were basically just to the side talking to people about what they thought was going on. And right outside the church, Lemon got into a little bit of a debate with one of the congregants who was saying, you people don't know what you're doing. You're full of lies. You know, the usual trope that they do against media. And Lemon was answering back saying, you don't want to hear the facts? Okay, fine. I mean, the guy was leaving the congregant, the person that he was speaking with. So Lemon was not blocking anybody from doing anything. And this has turned into you know, a way like you said to try and scare the members of the press from covering anything. Several prosecutors in Los Angeles, where they arrested Lemon, and in Minneapolis, resigned because they didn't want any part of this. They said this is ridiculous. A magistrate judge said the same thing too. And, you know, Lemon has the good fortune of having the money to hire Abby Lowell, who, if you know what that name is, he's a high-powered Washington, D.C. lawyer who's defended Hunter Biden and Letitia James and Lisa Cook, the Federal Reserve governor that Trump is trying to get rid of. He charges literally an arm and a leg, about $1,500 an hour. Lemon has the money to do that. Most people don't. And this is, you know, one of those intimidation tactics. The indictment against him is really laughable because it says against him and the other journalists that they were, trying to infringe on the religious freedom of the people in the church. And they were not doing any such thing.
He sounds much more expensive than my attorney, Abby Normal.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
Why did you switch from Sweet James?
and Lemon, he also interviewed the preacher, right, of the church.
Yeah, he did.
So this pastor is working with ICE or for ICE? What's the story?
He is also an ICE. I don't know if it's an agent on the side or if he does any kind of work with them, but he is also working with ICE. I don't know if
picking off his own flock? Is he like giving up immigrants in his own congregation? So far,
no one has been able to really pin any of that on him. And it could be that he was maybe, you know, serving as some sort of ministry capacity to some of those ICE agents who clearly need that. But it caused a bit of a commotion where you have a religious leader, a member of the religious community, also working with ICE, which these days is probably not something that he would want to put on his resume. And everything was pretty calm until some of the protesters started shouting, you know, out with ICE, get out ICE. But nobody was really pushing or shoving or blocking entrances or any of that kind of stuff, and certainly not anything that Don Lemon was doing. And coincidentally, him and Georgia Fort are both African-American, and this is typical of what the Trump administration has been doing, trying to get the people who they think can least afford it. Lemon, fortunately for his pocketbook, can, but it does try and send some sort of a message that we're going to come after you. And Fort was live streaming at her home about what had happened when they came knocking on her door and arrested her.
Wow.
So that was right on live stream. It is an incredibly ridiculous turn of events that has caused a lot of consternation and also a lot of people out protesting. And it's probably going to get laughed out of court, as you said, but not before some, expensive lawyers.
$100,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're charging somebody $1,500 a minute, you know, or an hour rather, to talk to them, even if you talk for just a couple of hours, there's, you know, $3,000-$4,000 to try and defend yourself against an incredibly bogus charge where he kept saying in the video, I'm a journalist, I'm just covering it, I am not part of this. So, this is just Attorney General Pam Bondi trying to basically scare people, you know, into not doing their job.
Hey, Patricia, this is Lalo. I finally made it.
Hey.
I was on with Nick Valencia from formerly of CNN.
Oh, yeah.
This past week. I did a fun interview with him because I got to cuss a lot.
What?
Yeah, it was so good. And and we talked about, you know, the fact that, like, I was talking about print journalists and he, and I was saying, well, you know, we're all going through the same thing. We're all being, you know, unplugged from these big companies that can protect us. You know, well, I didn't say that. I didn't know Don Lemon was about to go down. the reason I bring it up is Nick Valencia, the last week, I don't know if you saw the videos, but ICE came across the street and pointed shotguns in his face, you know?
Wow.
And Nick had to say, I'm a journalist. I'm a totally legitimate, independent journalist. You can't do that. And he just, you know, he went at it with him. And I was like, oh, I'm so proud of you, mijo, you know?
and Nick's experience is unfortunately typical of what's happening, because a couple of AP reporters, Associated Press reporters, one of them was pushed to the ground yesterday during one of the Minneapolis protests that they were covering. And they kept saying, we're the press, we're the press. And one of them was trying to get out of their car to go cover the protests. And an ICE person came to the window and said, If you try and come out, we're going to arrest you. And if you stay in your car and don't leave, I'm going to break the window and force you out.
Damn.
The only reason we know this is because they've been taping it. They videotaped it. You know, that old adage, a revolution will be televised. It's definitely happening. But imagine all those other incidents that are happening that we don't know about, or it's just their word against ours, because when there's clear evidence, even when there is clear evidence, the Trump folks, Kristi Noem, et cetera, say, oh, it didn't happen that way. And they immediately label people like the nurse that was shot in the back 5 times, a domestic terrorist. Same thing with Renee Good and some of the other folks that have unfortunately lost their lives or have been seriously injured just because they were out there exercising their constitutional right to peaceful assembly and to protest. You know, it really is an indictment against what the White House is trying to do to silence people and to basically take over a lot of these things and completely run roughshod over the legal system. And a lot of people don't even realize that they have rights where they say, well, I have to carry my passport because they're going to ask for my citizenship. You know, that really is not the law, you know, but so many people are so afraid that or not get involved. And then you hear ridiculous stuff that from people saying, well, they shouldn't have been out there in the first place and they wouldn't have, nothing would have happened to them. That's not the answer, folks. You know,
those are some colonized people. They fell for the BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Like some of the former MAGA people. I had no idea that he was going to do all of this. You know, come on. Yeah. You know, but in a much lighter note, or in a very light note, the Kennedy Center last night premiered the Melania mockumentary.
Yes, yes.
It's almost if we really see the ticket sales,
sale.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. The country's busiest movie theaters are right there in the middle of Times Square in New York. And they had no tickets sold for some of the showings last night. And I think there was 14 tickets sold today, which is nothing.
I got a great idea what people should do if they feel they have to go to see this movie. They need to treat it like the Rocky Horror Show. You need to go and heckle. And put names on people like Stephen Miller should be like Dr. Evil, and you know what I'm saying? And just go heckle at the screen as each person comes on.
Where's 50 Cent when you need him? He could just buy out all the tickets and have no one show up.
That was the 17.
Yeah. And you know, there's even social memes out there that combine some of the immigration stuff by telling people, if you're undocumented, go to the movie theater where Melania's documentary is being shown, because no one's going to show up and you'll be nice and safe.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be premiering all over the place. And I think the sales after they spent, after Amazon spent $70 million.
The ransom, you meant?
Yeah,
the ransom
pretty much. They've made, I think, $1 million maybe in the opening.
That's advertising.
That
just covers the cost of advertising. Right?
Probably doesn't even cover that.
It doesn't.
Yeah, and so that was going on last night, while at the same time all of this other stuff was happening, and then the Senate is in the middle of negotiating. They have until midnight tonight Eastern time, so five and a half hours from now, before they shut down the government again for at least a few days until the House comes back on Monday to vote on funding. The big block was how the Democrats wanted to not have in the funding bill money going to ICE. And so they came to some sort of negotiation, a compromise, where they're going to vote separately on that to make sure that this particular funding goes through. So they're probably going to vote on that before midnight tonight, and then wait until the House comes back on Monday afternoon and get that through. And then they fund the government for 2 weeks, just 2 weeks, before they have to do that all over again. And so it's been big roller coaster up and down in the Senate on what's going on with that. And to top it all off, 3 million pages of the Epstein files were released today.
Yep.
And the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche said, we don't really see any men's names in there that we're still looking through, we've redacted the names of the women, but when one of the NBC News reporters was looking through some of the files, there were addresses that were not redacted and some names that weren't, so very sloppy. But it was pretty funny in a pathetic sort of way when the Deputy Attorney General said, if we see any men who abused women, we're definitely going to go after them. But we don't see any. We don't know any yet.
So Epstein was the only one.
Wait, so that's Epstein's only victims.
Epstein was the only one.
Epstein and probably Bill Clinton, according to the Trump people, and I bet you Obama's in there too, according to them.
Chris Tucker, of course. I'm sure Chris Tucker's in there.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Carter might be in there, too, delivering peanuts. I mean, who the hell knows what kind of nonsense is coming out of the Justice Department for them to say that we don't have any names of anybody. And if we do, we're going to go after them for sure. He was basically saying, we're not trying to cover up anything, and we just don't know any of the names yet. Come on.
How about when Pam Bondi goes, was it Pam Bondi? She goes, oh, they were talking about another Donald Trump. It's a very common name.
No. Tell me you lied.
That was a good one. She said that. She didn't say that today. She said that a couple of weeks ago, and that was just hilarious. I'm like, wait a minute. So are you throwing Donald Jr. under the bus?
How can you people still support this guy? I don't understand.
It's common in their family.
I don't understand. they lie about good getting shot. They lie about pretty good. They frame them as these terrorists, and then they're like trying to back it. I'm like, dude, they lying on everybody. How do you still believe anything these people say?
Well, forget about how well the Trump, the president is suing the IRS for $1 billion with a B, because of some leaked tax returns of his. And the IRS is saying, we didn't leak anything. I don't know what you're talking about. But this is a good way for him not to pay taxes, right? I'm going to sue the tax people for the money that I didn't pay.
It's his answer to everything, right? It's the way he deals with everything.
Well, he don't take a paycheck, but he'll take $1 billion from the people.
Oh, he does take a paycheck. That whole baloney about how I'm not going to take a paycheck, that lasted 1 month during his first administration.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled a reverse class action and sued the people of the United States of America.
You know what would be great? You know what would be hilarious? If he pulled a class action and he sued himself.
I'm going to pay myself.
Yeah, yeah,
with taxpayer money.
Exactly.
I'm suing for this tacky-ass decoration.
It's the no-class action suit.
No-class action. I've got whoever the occupant is here, he's tacky as hell. I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
It's a very common name, Donald Trump.
So
I don't know who it is, but it's not the president. That's right. Exactly what she said. It's a different guy.
So a source just texted
Donald Grump. Donald Grump, remember him?
A source just texted me and said that they deleted a bunch of files off the website today that were released this morning because Trump's name was all over there.
Yeah.
They think someone did it on purpose.
Yeah, they said that it appeared his name appeared on some of the documents in the Epstein file.
That was another Donald Trump.
It was another guy. It was the Mexican guy, Donaldo Trumpo.
Yes, he lives in California, of course. Of course, he's got to live in California.
The president of Venezuela.
Yeah,
Donaldo Trumpo. And so he appeared in some documents, or his name appeared in some documents that was on the Justice Department website at 9:30 this morning, and by 11 a.m. disappeared. Nobody knows what happened. It just went away, you know. And they asked him about that, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General. I don't know what you're talking about, you know. It was almost like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, Willis, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they're trying to play dumb with people and trying to get away and getting away with a tremendous amount of scary stuff and nonsense.
Yo, this is I don't know how people I really don't know how people still can stand there and still support this guy. I mean, he's violating everybody's first and fourth and fifth and 14th Amendment rights. I mean, he, like I said earlier, he's taking out presidents of countries. They're shooting American citizens. They're kidnapping people. And people are going, well, you know, he's doing what we want him to do. I'm like, no, I didn't want him to do that.
Yeah.
77 million of them are saying, well, you know, the wolf told us that he was going to eat us, but, you know, we really like that he gets right to the point. He tells us what he's thinking. That's really the only excuse that I think that some of these people have. Well, he did tell us, you know, and we like somebody who doesn't, you know, beat around the bush. It really is an unprecedented time in the country. And I think this is why a lot of people are going in sub-zero weather out there to protest, not just in Minneapolis, but there's a really big one going on right now in New York City. And there's some plans for other ones across the rest of the country, including right here. There's been a constant one in front of the White House here in Washington. And even though it's very cold here, almost as cold as it is in Minneapolis, people are still going out there and protesting because this is an unbelievable time, an unprecedented time, where they're trying to slowly but surely chip away at some of the rights out there. And really the only thing that is keeping us from going over the cliff are some really smart judges and lawyers who aren't going to be putting up with it. And as we get closer to the midterms, maybe this is where some of the Republicans that have been sitting on their hands are saying, oh, we can't have this, or we're going to lose the House and we're going to lose the Senate. And if the Democrats take over Congress in November, it's going to be a whole different story.
Well, how about him taking, you know, going into Georgia and taking the voting registers and
trying to go into
Minnesota to take those registers? I mean, it's out of control.
That and that, for anybody who hasn't been listening or hearing about that, they went into Fulton County, which is where Atlanta is, where the Democrats basically gave Georgia to Biden in the 2020 election, and so helped Biden win the presidency. And as you know, Trump has been flipping out that he says that it was stolen and blah, blah, blah. So they went in there, meaning some of the federal officials, including the Tulsi Gabbard, who's the director of national intelligence. She's been sort of off of the radar lately, but she went over there and took boxes and boxes of voter registration, voter files, ballots, to basically say what dozens of judges since 2020 have said, 2024 have said, you know, that he didn't win this particular election. They're looking, they're basically looking for a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And what they're also trying to do, and this is the big rumor that they're talking about, is if he decides to bring up the Insurrection Act from the Civil War, they can cancel the midterm elections until we have a calmer way of doing things. It is kind of a really hazardous, scary time for the electoral types, where even Pam Bondi said to Minnesota, we'll leave, all of the ICE people will leave if you hand over the vote, all your voter registration information. And Minnesota said, no, we're not going to do that.
It's ransom.
Well, for the MAGA people that say they like Trump because he speaks his mind, you know who speaks his mind? My drunk uncle, and we don't let him out the house.
Only for Thanksgiving.
Well, Patricia, this man, just the parade of horribles, it just keeps going. And yeah. we keep having a tipping point now every day.
Well, maybe 2027 will be a better year.
Esteban's already looking forward.
This is the longest January.
Oh, this is a whole year in January.
Oh Lord. Oh right.
Yeah, but you know, but this is why listeners, you got to keep listening to us, because we're telling you what's going on out there.
That's
and
right.
We refuse to back down. So
that's right.
You
know,
If I ever get detained, I'm going to take my Wi-Fi with me, so don't worry about that.
All right, Patricia Guadalupe, we hope you are never detained. Only here on the Pocho Hour Power, though.
Yes, indeed. We will talk next week.
All right. Thank you, Patricia Guadalupe from D.C. We'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power in a second. All I wanted to mention, the Chato Show at the Carpenter Center in Carpenter Theater in Long Beach, Chato, on Saturday, January 31st. That's mañana at 8 o'clock. Chato is very nice to my mom, and she will always be on my Hall of Fame.
Is she related to Frijoles El Chato?
Yes, that's her cousin.
That's
yes.
her cousin.
We'll be right back with more of all of this wonderful spontaneity on the Pocho Hour of Power.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right.
Bye,
Patricia. Of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
You're invited to join the Tuesday Global Village host, Gary Baca, on Saturday, January 31st from 9 to 11 a.m. for an East Side Story Oldies special.
Ain't no
with the East Side Story founder, Anthony Bousalis, a.k.a. Mr. B. Also joining the fun will be Ms. Mamacita of the Lowrider Oldies Show. And Critical of Thump Radio. Request line will be open, and Gary will be taking requests and dedications. That's this Saturday, January 31st.
I love you so.
Old School and Lowrider Fun starts at 9 a.m. on Fiercely Fair May, KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, and online at kpfk.org.
Palabra.
Hey, this is Lila Downs. You're on KPFK. You're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Hello, everybody. One, two,
What your hour of power is?
You are breakdancing.
Trust me, the stuff we say in between is much better than the show.
Is that Chato right there?
Ooh, I feel like doing the coochie coochie now.
Coochie coochie. Stay away from my coochie coochie.
All of a
sudden. Wait, you got a hoochie coochie?
Oh, my Lord. Well, Chato at the Carpenter Center. Let's change the coochie coochie subject. And also on Sunday, February 1st, we've got Midnight Magic. A lifetime achievement tribute to the Midnighters.
And what's that going to be at, Lalo?
That's going to be at my favorite spot.
What?
Steven's Steakhouse.
Oh, my Lord.
In Commerce. You know, the famous Steven's Steakhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, where they always serve your steak perfectly.
Yes. That's right. Yes. That's right.
Yeah. He goes at Stefan. Side of,
through your heart.
With a side of cougar.
Side of cougar.
It's a lifetime achievement tribute to the Midnighters, 1965 to 1970, co-hosted by Ray Carrion, and with Jimmy Espinoza, Larry Rendon, and Jeff's favorite performer, Little Willie G. Sunday.
I'm glad I never found out why they call him Little Willie.
Hey. Doors open. Yeah, you're lucky. Doors open at 2. Buffet opens at 2:01.
No.
PM.
Is it a steak buffet? No.
It is, I guess. Steaks.
All
and,
steak buffet.
And,
oh, my
and
Lord.
Cougars. And
speak, 2 for 1.
Oh, speaking of, never mind. I'm not going to say that. we on the line, joining us, our man from Axios.
Wait. Do we have to strike up the band for this? Or
oh,
no?
Yes. He's waiting for the band to strike up.
It's Russell Contreras reporting from Axios. It's Russell Contreras directly from Axios.
There you go.
All right. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power, Russell Contreras.
What are you doing, all Pochos and Pochexes? Coochies and Coochexes. Good to see you.
All my Pochexes live in Texas.
Yours too? Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
I know, it's terrible.
In fact, they're the same Coochexes. That's amazing.
How's it going, Russell? What does Axios have to report this week? Axios breaking more news?
You know, just a very slow week. Oh, except for Minnesota and some other things.
Yeah.
Minnesota was obviously on the top of the news. We had another shooting this past weekend. As we investigate, we have a number of stories coming out. Obviously, we're following all the things coming out of Washington. Greg Bovino leaving the Border Patrol. One of the things we're looking at, stories this weekend, did you know that in protest, not just in Minneapolis, but across the country, we're seeing the return of the Black Panthers and the Brown Berets. You're starting to see these iconic groups show back up, saying, interesting that the Black Panthers, new groups that call themselves the Black Panthers, use a lot of the same symbolism, the same iconography, saying they're coming out and defending immigrants as part of their long struggles. You see it in Philadelphia. You also see it in San Diego. But interesting, some Black Panther veterans saying, actually, this is diluting the original intent of the Black Panther. So there's tensions mounting.
Interesting.
Very interesting that it's actually a generational thing. The new generation that's grown up in a multiracial, multi-ethnic society differ from the originals because you're growing up in two different worlds. They see their struggle is intertwined with immigration. We talked to some folks who say that this is the tension that is mounting. You're starting to see this in different states. It's not a debate that's going to go away, but a lot of people, there is one group called the Black Panthers that were forced to change their name because veterans saying you're not the original Panthers. But one individual, and his name is Paul Birdsong, saying we are standing in solidarity with immigrants, that the Black Panthers were an international anti-oppression group, and that it will maintain it. So the groups are not going to go away. On the brown beret side, you're starting to see brown berets, not just in Los Angeles and California, but brown berets in Minnesota and in Salt Lake City, where they're coming out and saying, wow, this is part of the struggle. Very interesting development.
Yeah, because, you know, the original Black Panthers actually, they fought against classism. So they included, exactly, they included brown and poor whites, because that's what they, yeah, were about. Yeah,
they were largely seen as a nationalist group, but yes, they were really all about inclusion. I mean, yes, when you look at the rhetoric and what Huey Newton was saying, Bobby Seale, Cleaver, all these cats.
They were Trap Brown.
They were talking about, look, man, we got to get together. And let's not forget that Vato in Chicago.
Fred Hampton.
Assassinated by the FBI.
Who was really the most
influential.
Yeah, because he was bringing everyone together.
Yes, that's what class. That's what it's about.
So then what's up with these guys saying,
that's what I don't understand.
We don't want to help the immigrants.
They're COINTELPRO. They're COINTELPRO, bro.
Oh.
They've been sold and bought out.
That's right.
It's really interesting. You bring up Fred Hampton. There was one guy, documentary that came out a few years ago called The Original Rainbow Coalition. Talked about Fred Hampton and another Black Panther in Chicago organizing poor whites, young lords,
yep,
and other Black folks. His name was Robert Lee, came from Houston. And when he would give speeches to poor whites who'd moved to Chicago from Appalachia, he would say, you know, I was named after Robert E. Lee, guys. And of course it would get all these laughters. And he was trying to bring a class revolution, as we mentioned. It's also interesting that when the Stonewall riots broke out in New York, Black Panthers from Harlem came down and says, we're in solidarity because we're against police brutality. Right. That is also forgotten.
That's cool.
And the struggle there. So in addition to that, one thing we're looking at should be this weekend. Yes, the videos from ICE and the Border Patrol out of Minnesota caught on cell phone footage is disturbing. But did you know there are a number of cell phone footages and other recordings that portray ICE in another way? This, of course, I'm talking about ICE agents, Border Patrol agents in Minneapolis slipping on ice. Also, videos of Border Patrol and ICE agents trying to chase down suspects and getting winded. They can't catch them. Also, footages of Border Patrol and ICE agents going into neighborhoods in Rochester, New York, and getting their tires slashed. A lot of law enforcement, some who support ICE, saying this footage is really showing the lack of training these folks are having. When you have agents trying to run down suspects and you're getting outrun by suspects, it shows there's a lack of cardio training, a lack of other training that's exposed, and also embarrassing. One video you saw coming out of Los Angeles, you see about a dozen people trying to chase down a suspect. They can't do it. As they turn around, protesters get in their faces, and the agents can't even respond to the protesters because they have no energy. As they kind of clown them, they call them tortas, and I'm not sure other offensive names that we can't say on this family radio show. It's exposing. I talked to somebody in the White House saying, this is absolutely embarrassing and atrocious. How dare you make fun of ICE agents? They sent me photos of ICE agents getting all sorts of injuries. Not sure if those injuries because they slipped on ice or if they're being inflicted by protests, but it's something that's they're getting clowned on social media, and a lot of law enforcement saying this is embarrassing. All guys, you need better training.
I thought for sure you were going to say there's footage of them on Pornhub. I thought that's where this was going, but I mean, any minute now there will be some ICE OnlyFans or something.
Oh yeah,
because they're not really getting paid that much, and they fell for this $50,000 bonus thing, and it's paid over 5 years. And if they screw up, they don't get it. So, and they have to pay it back,
and they don't understand it. Immigrants are at the gym training; they waiting on them.
Oh yeah, roofers are hauling like a whole roof by themselves.
Yeah. And doing laps at the drive-thru does not count as exercise.
They training. They waiting on.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is hilarious, Russell. Oh, I saw the funniest post. I'm sorry. It was a right-wing Latino for Trump who said, well, talk about being anti-Latino. You know, whatever, 30% of ICE agents are Latinos. So when you attack ICE agents, you're attacking Latinos.
Oh, my God.
I had to pick myself up off the floor.
Colonizing is real.
Oh, my
God. I almost dropped my toga. Because
your toga.
Latinos are, Latin is, you know, from the, if I've explained the joke.
I'm thinking it's not a joke. Toga? You're wearing a toga.
Only Latins wear togas.
He's not talking about Marcus Sanchez. He's talking about Marcus Aurelius.
There you go.
Well, then I understand that.
Anything else, Russell, before they just throw us out of the building?
Also Sunday, of course, may have been forgotten, but it's the start of Black History Month. Black History Month this year is going to be a little interesting because we're seeing the federal government take away a lot of things from the National Park Service. Like we had the famous footage that went viral of the federal government taking down any kind of references to slavery at one exhibit.
Oh, I saw that. I spent a lot of time at those at the Philadelphia the park where the Liberty Bell's at.
Right.
And
exactly.
My favorite thing is like Washington's house. You know, it's like the first White House was there. You know, it's all just the floor plans there and then the basement. And it talks about all the slaves that escaped from George Washington.
Yep.
And this is my favorite part of this tour. They tore all the signs down.
It's
amazing. What the hell is going on?
Interesting. While this is going down and people are outraged, quietly, nonprofits and black philanthropists are privately raising funds to save historic black sites themselves. You start to see people organizing and save the home, the childhood home of Nina Simone.
Got
a nonprofit. Also, Shonda Rhimes donated a lot of money to save the barn where Emmett Till was killed. This barn is in middle of nowhere, Mississippi. It's where he was tortured. The barn has been in private hands for decades. This nonprofit, with the help of Shonda Rhimes, bought it for more than $1 million, overpaid because it's probably just worth a few tens of thousands of dollars, but they were interested in buying it to preserve this site. You also see people organizing and buying with private funds the former home of Satchel Paige. He's the famous black baseball player who played in the segregated leagues. Interesting, you also see a number of black people, especially people with means.
The way he says it, black people.
Former, I don't want to say the names because some of this is very interesting. They're buying the spaces of former plantations. And at first, people that are selling the plantations don't realize that the people trying to buy them are black prospective owners. They're taking over the place and repurposing, not to be places where you can have weddings, but places for healing and educational purposes. We talked to one person. We'll be breaking the story this week. He's a writer. He bought a former plantation in Georgia and is repurposing this with black artists to reconstitute the place of a place of healing and education and a museum. There are black slaves, former black slaves that were born there, were buried there. He's gonna repurpose this. It's going to be something very interesting to watch here on Axios.com.
All right. Russell, how can people get your newsletters over there at Axios?
Go to Axios.com/newsletters right there. And if you don't know, you can type in my name, Russell Contreras, or as Jeff suggested, type in black people. Get all the news right there.
No, you got to say it the way you said it, though. You said it like you looked around and went, you know, the black people.
No.
You know,
I did it purposely because I'm in a car. And I looked around. I'm driving through the neighborhood here.
Hey, one quick note, Russell, one quick note is I dated Lisa Simone, Nina's daughter, for a while.
Oh.
And Lisa.
Her name is just Simone now, correct?
I don't know if she changed. It was Lisa Simone, but her daughter, her mom would call. And we got to go, but I got stories on that.
Do you love me, Jeff?
And you'll hear it here, Simone. And you'll hear it here from all the
we out of control today.
And then you will hear it here, straight here, at Focho Hour Power.
All right.
See you later.
Thank you, Russell Contreras. We'll see you next
time.
Hi, Russell.
It's always disturbing, Russell. Thank you. Hey, we are here. Who are we here with? We're here with the cast and crew and of Melania. No, I'm just kidding. Of the Circle.
God, no, please. No. Nobody want to see that. No.
We're going to throw tomatoes and oranges.
I mean, it's empty AMC theater, so I think that says everything you need to say, you know?
How you doing? Welcome to Put Your Power.
Thank you so much. I'm Jessica E. Williams, the assistant director of the Circle. That's opening tonight at the Greenway Court Theater. So I'm here. Ooh. I think some of our castmates are back here, so we're super excited.
Yeah, what are they doing way over there? Oh, they have mics over there? Yeah, we got mics over there? Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone that, you know, pledged money at the fundraiser. Welcome, everybody. Who's over there?
I'm Jeanette Godoy. I'm playing Mary Pedron in the play.
All right.
Joaquin Valdez.
Joaquin, is
hey,
that
hey,
you?
Hey, hey, how's it going? God. It's been so long.
It's a court-ordered glass between us.
That's what it feels like. I was just kind of thinking the same thing. I was like, I feel like we're being interrogated. That's okay.
It's all right. That's him.
Yeah. I knew that child. Look, he's a man now.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
And he's doing great work in the show. Everybody is.
All right. Well, tell us about the play.
Oh, cool. So it is, we're describing it as a tragic comic play, which means there are tragic elements and comedic elements.
It's like our radio show.
Yeah, sure, we'll take it. so it's a story about three generations of the Medinas, which is a Hispanic family, and the Mahonies, who is an Irish Catholic family. They come together over one absurd weekend in Texas. Chaos ensues, of course, whenever you get families together, and it echoes the brutality of the 2016 election season and the pain felt across the country at that time. And in this particular family, they have a family member who's in hospice care. There's another family member who's expecting a baby. So, you know, it's the typical family play of, you know, let's get everybody in the house together for one hot weekend, 3 days long in the middle of San Antonio, Texas, and let's see what happens, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
And Lalo, how do you know the young?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Esteban and I have known this young man for quite a while. Maybe from Teatro Campesino, and he was a fetus. So tell us about your experience with the play. Are you having fun? It's a tragic comedy, so it's got to be heavy at times, too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's the kind of theater vehicle that any performer and artist involved would want to be a part of, you know, and it just has everything that you would want from a show. You know, given that it is a world premiere production, you know, there's that exciting element of it. And the timing is actually really quite beautiful, just, you know, given the circumstances, what we're dealing with on a daily basis and looking at that reality through that lens, especially from a past historical perspective. You know, the play is set in 2016, you know, just during the election period and then the turmoil that was happening at that time in the country. And we're closing in on the story of this family, you know, this incredibly complex, beautiful, loving but incredibly challenged family, you know, and you know, it is a story of love and passion and frustration, but at the same time it's really looking at who we are, you know, at that time, and what's incredible about being a part of this production is all the artists involved. I think there's so much incredible talent from the playwright, Stacey Martino Rivera, mm-hmm. and the director, D.W. Jacobs, who is co-founder of the San Diego Repertory Theater. And being at the helm of this production, you know, he has an incredible wealth of theatrical knowledge, and just to be able to bring that into the space and share it with everybody throughout was just incredible. But amazingly, you know, we're opening up on this day, you know, on the 30th, you know, which is a lot of incredible activity out in the streets that are happening that's happening right now. And it feels very important to be able to present this work.
Mm-hmm. How long is the run for?
The run is basically all the way up until March
No, February
actually,
22nd.
Actually, it's 4 weeks. So we open tonight. Thank you. I got you. January 30th. And we close February 22nd. And so weekend shows only. So Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m. And then Sundays, 2 p.m. Sundays and Saturdays, I believe, 2 p.m. And then on Sunday shows, we actually have four talkbacks. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, you'll see the show. And then there's a series of conversations after with incredible restorative justice activists and incredible people that are going to be there. So, cool. You know, you get an added benefit if you come on to Sunday's matinees.
So it's only one show on Sunday?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And this is at the Greenway Court Theater. It's The Circle, 544 North Fairfax Avenue. Do we have tickets? Or? Yes, we do. We got three pairs of tickets. So let's start calling now. 818-985-5735. While we keep talking, I want to ask, how are you enjoying the play there?
Oh, good. I mean, I think it's definitely allowed me to understand. I've never been to San Antonio.
It's great.
Oh, man, I heard it's hot.
Gotta go. Yes, that's what you want to drink a lot when you're there.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, yes.
And eat a lot.
So, but, you know, I think one of the things that I didn't know was just a lot of elements of environmental racism that San Antonio is kind of living on. And so more specifically, these sacrifice zones, right? That unfortunately, I mean, I didn't know this, that 10 of the biggest emitters of greenhouse gases are in Southside San Antonio.
Wow.
And so those are all really important things that, you know, this art allows us to kind of educate community, but also ourselves here in LA to understand, like, are there sacrifice zones around us?
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's why Elon Musk fled to Texas, because no rules, right?
Right. Like, correct. And the one thing I learned about San Antonio is the best restaurants have the most dogs sleeping in front. that's how you know it's a good restaurant. Yeah.
Good point.
I love that.
True.
Love that.
That's hilarious.
Well, you know,
if it's a five-dog restaurant, you go inside immediately.
Don't forget to tip your dog. There's not enough black theater going on. There's not enough Latino theater going on. But here, it's black and Latino show. How unique is that? I can't think of a show like this in recent memory.
Yes, actually. So the families are Hispanic and Italian. So it's really a melding of cultures.
Oh, okay. I blew that one.
Cool. No, it's all good. It's because I'm here. You know, I represent from my people.
Well, it's called Mahoney's. So
let's go Russell back and make fun of him.
Yes.
So, it's a real cool blending of cultures.
I said Mahomies. That's why.
Mahomies.
Mahomies.
Yeah, that was Mahomies.
It's for those people, too. So you know, come on out. It's a really, you know, the way Stacey Martina Rivera puts it, it's a show that grapples with our history as a nation, right, which we're seeing play out in real time, unfortunately, with this second administration or whatever. But it's also an opportunity to explore our shared humanity together. And so, you know, this is one of the few communal experiences that we can still have together in an age where we have things delivered and dropped to our door and we don't necessarily have to interact with each other. It's cool to be able to sit across from somebody and laugh at the same thing.
Human contact is making a comeback.
So if that sounds exciting or something like you want to do, please come visit us down at the Greenway. You can visit greenwaycourttheater.org, greenwaycourttheater.org, and come hang out with us in the Circle. It's going to be a great time.
And I like the restorative justice component. I did restorative justice at Santa Monica High School for 15 years.
Mm.
And so I've taught classes on it. I've done all kind of things with it.
You know who didn't go to that class?
Stephen Miller,
the white pride of Santa Monica High.
Right.
He wouldn't come to my class.
But no, it's very important, restorative justice, and learn how to build communities and deal with conflict and resolution and that type of stuff. So it's very important.
It's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming. It's everyone from the Circle. And go see it at the Greenwood Court Theater. I hope you got your free tickets there. Courtesy of, the Circle and the Greenway Court Theater, and our friend Stephen Moyer. Yeah.
Stephen's here back there. Look at him. Looking good as always.
That's right.
He's so sharp. Sharp is he?
He's sharp. I cut myself when I walked past him.
I want to thank everybody from the circle. I want to thank Patricia Guadalupe, Russell Contreras. I want to thank Oz for doing our sound, Gary Baca, the 5G, for producing the show. And I want to thank you, Jeff Keller.
I want to thank you, Lala, and I'll be at the Comedy Chateau tomorrow night.
No!
Say my name! Say my name, and you get in free.
And I'm going to thank myself, since no one else will. And also, I want to thank Jaime Casillas for doing our theme song.